Welcome to this podcast of The Secrets, the podcast for anyone who is serious about writing. The Secrets home can be found at www.stormwolf.com. For the next 15 minutes, we'll talk about writing and how to get you even closer to seeing your name on the spine of a book. Hello, I'm your host, Michael A. Stackpole. I'm a writer of science fiction and fantasy novels, and for the next 15 minutes, we'll be talking about writing. This podcast is an outgrowth of a newsletter that I do called The Secrets, and you can find out more about The Secrets and what it can teach you about writing at www.stormwolf.com. One of the features of The Secrets magazines, running through the first 20 issues or so, is what I refer to, or are what I refer to, as the rules of writing. I've got to get that grammar in there. These are just little tricks and secrets that writers eventually learn, and they're good things if you're a developing writer. For you to play with, or there are things that you can learn to use if you are already a seasoned writer, because these are good diagnostics. Rule of writing number 5 is a really big one as far as I'm concerned, and that's research. Last January, I was at a charity function for the Reading for the Blind and Dyslexic, and I gave a little talk, just a brief talk, and one of the people asked me a question, and what she asked was, do you like writing fantasy because then, you know, you don't have to do any research? And I carefully pointed out that, in fact, you do have to do research for any and all writing. And there are a number of reasons why you want to do that research. I'll give you a few of them right now. First of all, you're just one person, and you can be dreaming up all sorts of cool stuff. But if you do research, you're really letting anybody who has ever lived and ever come up with an idea be your research assistant, because they will have thought of or tried things that will never have occurred to you to actually work, because sometimes they're stupid, sometimes they're just weird, sometimes they're all wrapped up in an entirely different culture and an entirely different time, and these are things that you can use to bring something really special into your world, really special into your writing. And that's very, very important. It makes your writing real. Another thing that research does, it allows you to avoid mistakes. I remember a number of years ago, I was reading a novel. It was set in New York. It was written by an Irish writer. It was a thriller novel. And in the novel, the hero came home after a long day, and he reached into his freezer, and he took out a TV dinner, and he put it in the microwave, and the microwave dinged, and he pulled it out, and the text said he took the tin foil off the TV dinner. Well, of course, this is ridiculous for anybody who's ever had a microwave. You know, you don't put tin foil or aluminum foil in a microwave. But the writer, living in Ireland without a microwave, and apparently the copy editors who went through were without microwaves, and they let this error get through. Later in that book, the same hero reached into a drawer and he knew a gun was in there, and he reached into a drawer, and it was a Beretta pistol, and the line said that he could tell by the thickness of the grip that they had used a 23-bullet magazine as opposed to the 9-bullet magazine, as if somehow the grip of the pistol was an accordion that expanded depending upon the clip that they actually tossed into the gun. Again, this was somebody who had little or no understanding about firearms. And the problem when you make mistakes like that is that you, the writer, seem like an idiot, and people who know what they're talking about just want to throw the book across the room because it frustrates them terribly. When you do your research and when you get things down, when you learn how people act in certain situations, when you get the correct wording down, people believe in your story. They draw more out of it. After I wrote the X-Wing novels, which are set in the Star Wars universe, and it's about a series of fighter pilots, and I was describing a lot of fighter combat, people would ask me what it was that I flew. Well, I don't fly anything. You know, I logged a lot of hours on the X-Wing computer game, and that's certainly research, but I also read a lot of books by pilots. I talked to pilots. I watched a lot of video about pilots, both in World War II and acrobatic pilots. So I got a sense and I got a feel for what pilots go through and how a squadron reacts. And for those people who've been in that situations, it makes things very, very real. Another thing that you get out of research, again, is a sense of what is real, what it's possible to know. And I'll give you a very good example. Here's a question for you. What was gunpowder called before guns were invented? I mean, you had to have gunpowder before you had guns. And gunpowder, the first gun actually was a cannon. So the question is, what did they call it before they called it gunpowder? I don't know what the answer is. But I know in a fantasy novel of mine that I wrote, where I had cannons and I had guns, I ended up calling it fire dirt. It kind of makes sense. That construction makes sense. So you know then the things that you can't call it. You can't have a fantasy novel and call it gunpowder. You might be able to call it black powder, but you couldn't call it gunpowder because guns necessarily wouldn't have been invented, and gun was actually an idiosyncratic name because it came from the name of that particular cannon, which was named after a dragon. It's all very weird, and it came out of Sweden. In any event, these are little things that research will tell you. Another thing, and the last thing that I'll give you, and this pertains to gunpowder, is research will allow you to avoid anachronisms. How many times have you been reading a book where you see someone describes the archer fired an arrow? Now, archers do not fire arrows. They shoot arrows. The only thing you fire is a gun, which literally came from the practice of applying fire to the touch hole of a weapon to make it go off. So if you ever see anyone who says that arrows were fired, that kind of thing, you know that they didn't do their research, they're not thinking about what they're writing, and that makes it unsatisfying for a lot of the readers. So think about that. Think about the words you're using. Think about the research. Really avail yourself of the knowledge that everybody else has generated, and make sure your books get all these facts right. Because if you don't, you will hear about it from readers. And worse yet, readers will tell other people how horrible your book was because you got your facts wrong, and you'll lose readers. And if you do that, you're never going to have a career. Welcome back to this second segment of The Secrets. I actually got a letter, and it's a very interesting one, from Aaron Ehrlich. And he writes, I've been writing for many years now, and so far I've completed several short stories and currently am in the process of outlining my first novel. One of the things that I've noticed is that the experience of writing is much like the experience of weaving a lie. Both are products of the mind, but based in the realms of fact. In both, you have to make sense and make a whole story as the whole, and fiction does, in fact, have a tendency to sound better than truth. I find that I work better when I am myself in the head of a character. I begin to act as he or she would. This makes for much better writing because your thoughts and feelings come from the experience and personal emotion. On the other hand, I find it disturbing and hurtful living an unreal character that is only a figment of my imagination. What do you think? Am I insane? Is this something writers go through? Is what I do morally right? That's a lot of questions to try and deal with. I know that there was one writer who wrote a number of Halloween novels, and he used to do what he referred to as method writing, and would sit there and type while wearing a hockey mask and use that experience to try and get inside the head of the main character, Jason. To a certain extent, all writers go through what I refer to, for me, as drifting into mic world, at times when you will just drift off and you may see the world through a character's eyes, or you may not say the line that a character would say. I've got a character called Wolf that I wrote in a number of Shadowrun stories who says things to individuals that would get me killed, but he can bring it off. And yet, you know, I'm the guy who's coming up with these wise guy kind of answers. I think it's good that you get inside the head of a character, and it's good that you can see how that character would relate to the world. If you feel that you need to pull on that mask, if you decide that, hey, today I'm going to go to the mall and I'm going to look at the mall the way my detective character would, and I'm going to react that way, and I'm going to talk to people the way my detective character would, that's fine. You know, you're just doing a little bit of role-playing. There's nothing wrong with it, nothing illegal, nothing immoral, especially if you're not trying to trick people into giving you money or doing anything at all that's shady. If you start relating to people and telling them this is who you really are, then you are moving over in that ground. I don't think you're insane, and this is something that writers do at various levels and various degrees. What's important about it is that you're able to know when you're doing this, and it's something that you can turn on or you can turn off. And this is something that comes along with the development of your skills as you become more confident and as you get to know your characters better. As I advocated in a show a couple of weeks back, The better you know your character, the better they are a construct, the less they have to reside in your head. You will know how they react without having to do their reactions with them. So I think you're on the right track, but don't get yourself caught up. Don't get yourself suddenly doing an alter ego. There have been writers who have done that before, and it generally gets them into trouble, and so I would recommend against it. Also, you know, if you get yourself caught in this trap of having to act the way your characters do and always inhabit them, this really limits what it is possible for you to end up writing, because you don't have the ability to be King Arthur. You aren't going to be able to face those very same problems that he is. So use this. Definitely want to get to know your characters. Don't sweat it. Again, you're not insane. The important thing is that you can differentiate between the fantasies and reality. And yes, by the way, stories do have to sound better than the truth. That's because, as they say, the truth is stranger than fiction. The truth can be odd. In fiction, we've got to make a story hang together. Now, if you have a question or a problem that you'd like me to address in the future in one of these podcasts, please feel free to send a note to thesecrets@www.stormwolf.com. I'll get to your question as soon as I can and try and address it as completely as I can. And just remember, if you've got a question that you want addressed, rest assured, there are dozens of people out there, maybe even hundreds of people out there, who want that same question answered. So let me know what your questions are, and I'll do my best to let you know what my thoughts are. Thanks. Hi, welcome back to the last segment here, the third segment of The Secrets. And in this segment, I always like to try and rescue an obscure word or a slang word. And I've got a great one for you this time. The word is nuthook. It's from a book called Words by Paul Dixon. Paul has done a whole bunch of books. They're brilliant. He collects words from all over the place. A nuthook is a sneak thief. And the word is derived from a time when thieves used hooked sticks to lift clothes and other goods from open windows. And this is really brings up an important point. When you're developing slang or you're developing your own language or terms like that, a lot of times terms and even names get derived from occupations. So this is a very interesting thing that you can play with. I mean, Carter was from somebody who used to drive carts. So think about that. Think about how this relates to things, especially when you're doing science fiction and fantasy work. Think about how that could change what goes on. Are there going to be people who are called Speller because their antecedents were once magickers? Could very well be. In any event, if you see any of Paul Dixon's books, be sure to snag them. They are just a treasure trove of interesting terms, and they also show you how these terms get organized. I absolutely love Paul's work, and I cannot recommend it highly enough. One more quick comment about books and about research, and ties this all together. Most writers have an incredible library of books. And in a later podcast, I'll talk about some books that you absolutely have to have. But, you know, when I see a book on words, when I see a book about names, I've got tons of Name the Baby books, and they're great. If you know anybody who's going out of the country and they can get you a Name the Baby book from someplace else, have them do it, because those are absolute treasures. Another thing to look for, especially garage sales and book sales or in antiquarian bookshops, are old dictionaries, because they'll give you the uses of the words back then before they picked up their modern connotations, which is absolutely great, especially if you're doing retrospective work or fantasy work. Before I hit all the boring legal stuff, I want to thank Aaron for his letter. I want to thank Michael and Evo over at Dragon Page for all of their help. I'd like to thank Eric at TheForce.net for being so generous in his mention in his podcast. This podcast is copyright 2005, Michael A. Stackpole. Find me at www.stormwolf.com. Good luck with your writing. See you in a week. Plenty of people would love to write, but figuring out where to start isn't easy. The Secrets is a great place to begin. In this bi-weekly newsletter, Michael A. Stackpole and other writers share their experience. If you want to take your writing to the next level, whether you're just starting out or a seasoned veteran, The Secrets is a serious tool for your development. Visit www.stormwolf.com to learn more about The Secrets and download some sample issues. Your future awaits. Subscribe to The Secrets today.